This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcasts. And the podcasts are also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Head over there, click on our show page. You can find the show podcasted right there. While there, you can also leave a comment for the show, charlestonsportsradio.com. Click on our show page. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. You can text the show, 843-608-1734. Or join the conversation on the phones as well, 843-721-9500. On my Gmail, I hate, by the way, how Gmail now has, they've been doing this for a while, but how they have advertisements. They have ads in your own email. So the top two things are not actual emails, they're ads. Number one ad right now when I open up my Gmail, Sears.
Oh, my.
We were just talking about Sears last hour, so A, they are still around. But B, they're always listening. We were talking about Sears last hour because of Sebastian Maniscalco's bit that we played. And now the top advertisement on my Gmail is for Sears. Number two is Ralph Lauren. I haven't thought about Ralph Lauren in quite a while. But whatever else we talk about here over the next couple of hours, I'm sure I'll get an advertisement for that in my email as well.
Go get a washer dryer, then get yourself a nice polo. How about
that? Right. Call it a day. That's a pretty good day right there. Freshen up the home and yourself. Not bad. We'll get the Trent's takes coming up. I know yesterday you didn't have the most popular opinions when it came to Kyrie Irving going to the Heat
right.
And also potentially becoming a Yankees fan.
Yeah, you know, I was getting called a bandwagon fan. Let me make something very clear, Luke Morrow. I have allegiances to my squads, obviously, the Florida Gators, the Green Bay Packers, and the Miami Heat. I don't have a baseball team. I've never, like, looked at one sole baseball team. My dad's a big Astros fan, like I mentioned yesterday. But I've never, like, looked at a baseball team and said, all right, that's my favorite team. Baseball season, and we're in the summer now. I need something to watch. Mm-hmm. I want to get behind a team. And I think I've made a official selection that I will be riding behind for the rest of the season. Pretty pumped up about it.
All right. We'll find out later this hour.
We should. Absolutely.
All right. Get the drum roll going. Who's it going to be? Better not be those Yankees.
Well, I'm usually the kiss of death anyway, so the team that,
in that
I,
case,
I should have hopped on the Yankees, and then they'd probably start losing.
Yeah, in that case, let's give that a try, because nothing else is stopping them right now. Tired of these Yankees. The Warriors won their championship last week, of course, latest championship. A lot of talk about Steph Curry. You know, a lot of times we do this thing where we say he's a top five player, he's a top 10 player, because they give you like a feel of being a top 10 player or a top five. It's almost like it should be a feel instead of being taken literal. You know, in a similar sense, we talk a lot of music around here. There's now a genre that's called indie. You know, when that started, the idea was that you were independent. You weren't with a record label. Now it's become like a sound, indie. They're not literally independent. They have a record contract, but it's become a sound. It's almost similar with these conversations in sports where it's more like a feel. He feels like a top 10 player. But then the retort would be like, okay, sit down and do your top 10. And you're coming up with a lot of names that you're having a hard time saying, oh, and actually, yeah, Curry is better than that guy. And your top 10 list ends up with like 15 guys that you feel like they're all top 10 players. But then as you sit down and actually draw it out, you see that it's very hard to narrow it down to the 10 all-time greats. So it's really more like a feel. I usually don't like these conversations of ranking like top 5 all-time, top 10. But we're going to do it today with Steph Curry because we're going to do it a little bit differently. ESPN.com, for the 75th anniversary this year when they had the top 75 players at the All-Star break, ESPN.com did their own with their basketball writers, did their top 17 players all time. They had Steph Curry at number 16 at that time, back in February before this latest championship. So what we're going to do is look at their top 16 and see how many guys Steph Curry has jumped over on his way to potentially a top 10. We usually do a top 10 list on Tuesdays. This one's going to be a little bit different, but nonetheless, let's hit the intro.
Time for the Tuesday Top 10, where we rank anything from quarterbacks to cheeseburgers right here on the Morrow Midday Show. Interested?
So the idea is, has Steph Curry cracked the top 10? We'll get to the official top 10 from ESPN.com eventually, and that can serve as our Tuesday Top 10. But Steph Curry was in February number 16 all time on their list. Has he suddenly become top 10 based off of that championship? Let's look at the players immediately ahead of him to see if Curry jumped over these guys. Number 15, and again, this is based off of ESPN.com's list from February with all their basketball writers putting this together. 15 is Moses Malone. And let me also, the other, before we dive into this, I also have to couch it with the statement of, if Curry is jumping these guys or these players aren't top 10, it doesn't mean they weren't phenomenal players as well. It's kind of like the conversation you have with Jordan and LeBron. And by saying LeBron's number two all time, that's some sort of like, can you believe it? He has LeBron as the number two. Yeah, that's a great honor as well. So in this case, same idea. If I'm putting Steph Curry above these guys, don't take that to mean I think these guys aren't very good. They're all great players. We're talking about the 15 greatest players of all time. Moses Malone, number 15, right ahead of Steph Curry. I think I would put Curry ahead of Moses. Now, Moses had a great career, and he's the only player to win back-to-back MVPs with different teams. Did win a championship, was a finals MVP with the Sixers in the 80s. But I do think Curry is ahead of Moses. The things that Curry have going for him, number one, just the individual numbers and success. Number two, the team performance with the amount of championships and leading the best dynasty we've had in a while. And then number three, the impact he's had on the game. So for Moses Malone, he had a great individual career. From a team perspective, he did win a championship, didn't win quite as much as Curry. And from an impacting the game standpoint, not as much as a Steph Curry. I mean, you could say, you know, coming out, Moses coming out at 18 into to the league, it wasn't commonplace. Number 14, though, Dr. J, one of Moses' teammates, has a better case to be made. I would still put Steph Curry ahead of Dr. J, but what Julius Erving has going for him is that he did impact the game. Right? He added an element of athleticism and playing above the rim before Michael Jordan or before the great athletes of today. Dr. J, now he's first started in the ABA, but you go back to the 70s when he's playing in the ABA and then came over to the NBA, I mean, the things he was doing. And that classic reverse baseline scoop layup, I mean, it's incredible. If you do that in today's game, it's still marvelous. So I would put Steph Curry ahead of Dr. J, but Dr. J does have a stronger argument than a lot of guys because he did have an impact. Not a lot of players truly impacted the sport itself. Like Jordan, I think, is the all-time great. I don't know if Jordan truly impacted the sport of basketball. He impacted the fans. You wanted to be like Jordan, but you couldn't go out there and be like Jordan. Steph Curry has changed the game in terms of the shooting. Magic Johnson changed the game in terms of suddenly now 6'7", 6'9 guys are playing out on the perimeter. Kevin Durant, 6'11", playing out on the wing. Magic was really the first. Even you go back to Jabbar, you know, you had to change different rules for these guys. You had to outlaw dunking. Dr. J was like the first real above-the-rim type of player that impacted the rest of the sport, where after him, you got a lot of great athletes like that that were playing above the rim as well. I would put Curry ahead of Dr. J. 13, Hakeem Olajuwon. I would put Curry ahead of Olajuwon as well. Now, he was a great player, probably underrated, even though he's the 13th best player of all time on this list. Underrated in the sense that he was overshadowed by Michael Jordan, and the only two times he won a championship was when Jordan was playing baseball. So if there was no Michael Jordan, maybe the 90s would have been dominated by Olajuwon and those Rockets teams that were pretty good. But because of Michael Jordan, Olajuwon never won otherwise, and really all guys of the 90s, you probably overlook because everybody was so wrapped up with Jordan. And these other guys didn't do enough winning, like a Patrick Ewing, right? Malone, Stockton, Barkley, all-time greats that never won a championship. We hold that against them. But it was a lot harder to win because you were having to go through Michael Jordan. So Steph Curry, I would put him ahead of those guys, Moses Malone, Julius Erving, and Hakeem Olajuwon. That would put right now Steph Curry at number 13 all time. Then we get to number 12, where it gets really interesting, because 12 is Kevin Durant. Who is better all time, Kevin Durant or Steph Curry? I would put Steph Curry ahead of Kevin Durant. Now, look, it's there's context to the conversation. There's a little nuance to this. I think Durant is a more talented basketball player. Just like I would tell you, I think Dan Marino is more talented than Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers probably more skilled than Tom Brady. Even like maybe a Peyton Manning from a all-encompassing skill set, maybe more talented than Tom Brady. But who's the greatest quarterback of all time? It's Brady. I think Kevin Durant is a more talented basketball player than Steph Curry. And I've always said that if you could create a basketball player in the lab, or when you play NBA 2K and you're creating a play, you would create him to be just like Durant. He can score any way possible. He's probably got the best scoring skill set that we maybe have ever seen in the NBA with what he can do. Better than even a Jordan. But with that said, if we're talking legacies and careers or even impact on the game, I still put Steph Curry ahead of Durant. Just like Tom Brady may not be the most skilled quarterback to ever play, but he's certainly the most successful. And because of that portion of his legacy, you put Brady above everybody else. Was he more talented? Like, if you were building a quarterback, would you take Brady's skill set or would you take Elway? Would you take Montana? You'd probably take those other guys. If we stripped off the names and you were just building from tools, right, you'd probably want a guy that could run like Elway and had that strong arm over Tom Brady. But Brady just has that extra piece that the guy can't be stopped, and he always wins, and he's an incredibly great leader, good teammate, cerebral. Right? He does all the other things that you really can't account for. Kevin Durant's a better player than Steph Curry, but I put Steph Curry ahead of Durant, in large part because of Curry's overall success and the impact on the game. And while Durant did win two championships and did it alongside Curry, he came to Steph Curry's team. He took the easy way out. It was the kind of the, you know, can't beat him, let's join him to go get his ring. Steph Curry has shown he won before Durant, he's won with Durant, he's won since Durant. So I think Curry is more important to the operation than Kevin Durant, as good as Durant is. That takes us to number 11 on the list. We're trying to see if Steph Curry truly is a top 10 player all time. Number 11 is Shaq. And this is where I really struggle. I don't know if I put Steph Curry ahead of Shaq. Shaq obviously has all sorts of rings. In fact, he has more than Curry, right? He's got five, Shaq. Has five championships, I believe. Four for Shaq?
I believe because he had three with the Lakers and then one with Miami. I'll look it up, but if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, maybe he didn't get another one after that. Well, either way, they both have four championships now that the Warriors won the latest. Shaq, again, I don't know if he impacted the game, but he was so unique. He was incredibly talented on an individual perspective. Yeah, it was four for Shaq. All right, so they both have four championships, so he's right there in the conversation with Steph Curry. Curry played with Durant. Shaq played with Kobe, and then Dwayne Wade, so you can even have that argument. I think I may put Shaq ahead of Curry. Shaq was incredible. Now, if you're of a certain age, you may only remember Shaq from the second half of his career where he was like a little overweight and couldn't really get up and down the floor and he couldn't play the whole game. But early Shaquille O'Neal, when he was shattering backboards and he was running the floor and catching alley-oops, I mean, the dude, and he's doing it at like 7'1". He was, we use the term unicorn now, Shaq was like the original unicorn. How athletic he was for his size. And he was thin for his size. Right, as he went on in his career, kind of happened when he went to the Lakers, kind of started to coast, wouldn't practice all the time, didn't work as hard, put some weight on, and by the time he left the Lakers, he wasn't really the same player, or at least the same body as when he got to the Lakers. But I grew up in the 90s. I loved the Orlando Magic because of Penny Hardaway and Shaq. And you go back and you watch those Magic teams when Shaq first came in the league, or go back and watch him at LSU, I mean, we really haven't seen a guy like that. With his size, his power, but also his athleticism, he was completely unstoppable. He stopped himself by becoming a little out of shape, and as he got older, the wear and tear on his body, couldn't get up and down the floor, you know, started only playing half the games. But in his prime, oh, he was so good. I think I put Shaq ahead of Steph Curry, which would then mean Curry would be right now number 12, Shaq would be 11. And then to finish off the list, and this was put together by ESPN.com, we get to their top 10 players. They have Kobe at number 10, Oscar Robertson at number 9, Tim Duncan at number 8, Larry Bird number 7, Bill Russell number 6, Wilt Chamberlain number 5, Magic Johnson number 4, then you have Kareem at number 3, LeBron 2, Michael Jordan 1. Would you put Curry, do you think any of those guys should not be in the top 10. Would you put Steph Curry in front of any of them? Again, my only argument would be maybe Shaq, which would then put Steph Curry at number 11. Don't know if I'm putting him ahead of Kobe. And I'm one, this may be a bit of a hot take. This may not sound great because Kobe has since passed away, and you know, you always want to be very sensitive. I've always thought Kobe was overrated. People put him in the conversation with like LeBron and Kobe and Jordan for the all-time greats. He's not in that conversation. But I think number 10, 10th best player all time, I think that's a fair spot for Kobe, and I'd probably keep him ahead of Steph Curry. Oscar Robertson's one that maybe you would say Steph Curry, right? But Oscar almost averaged a triple-double for his career. And different era, sure. Didn't do a lot of winning early on until he joined up with Jabbar. But what an incredible talent he was. Tim Duncan, Larry Bird, Bill Russell, would you knock any of those guys outside of the top 10 for Steph Curry? I don't think so. Right? Wilt Chamberlain, Magic Johnson. So the point of this exercise was to see, based off of just ESPN.com's list, but I thought it was a pretty good list, at least at the top of the list. Steph Curry was number 16 on their list in February. Does this last championship, latest championship, do enough to bump him into the top 10? I don't think so. There's been a lot of talk about top 10 player or maybe even top 5 all time. I think maybe he's just on the outside. Around number 12, number 11, maybe number 10. Maybe he does crack into some top 10 list if you want to put him ahead of a Kobe or potentially an Oscar Robertson. But I don't know if I would do that. The things that Curry does have going for him, this would be a completely different list. The impact. If you want to talk about the most impactful players on the sport, yeah, Curry would definitely be top 5 with those names I mentioned earlier. I'd probably include Dr. J, Magic Johnson, Curry, and then probably Jabbar would be you know, your top 5 of guys that changed the sport of basketball, that they would have to change rules for you know, for Jabbar back in the day. Or even for Wilt Chamberlain, you have to widen the lane to try to get him away from the rim. Those are guys that really changed the game. Did Tim Duncan change the game of basketball? I don't think so. I mean, he's the big fundamental, but now fundamentals have kind of disappeared from the sport. So I think Steph Curry still sits just outside the top 10, probably 11 or 12. And I think ESPN.com, you could go find this list online at ESPN.com back from February, but just Google it. I think they did a pretty good job with the top players. So we turned that into a quasi-Tuesday top 10 this week. The best players in NBA history, I'll go off of ESPN.com's list. I'll take them at their word for their top 10. And then I'd probably keep Shaq 11, Steph Curry 12. Trent, would you put Steph Curry all time ahead of right now Shaquille O'Neal and or Kobe Bryant?
I think there's an argument for Kobe. There's no doubt about that. I feel like you could argue. I wouldn't put him, you know, up against Shaq. And granted, I grew up in a different era, like you mentioned, where Shaq was a little bit more overweight, and, you know, he was bouncing around from team to team to team. I didn't really see prime Shaq, but I've seen the documentaries. I've seen the highlight tape. There was nobody more dominant in NBA history than Shaquille O'Neal. Just look at the finals numbers. I mean, he was putting up crazy double-doubles every single night of the finals. That's a clutch player. Steph Curry, I mean, changed the game, obviously, with the shooting. Is one of the best shooters to ever do it in the NBA. It's tough for me to not put him in my personal top 10 because I didn't watch a lot of those guys play, like Magic and Oscar Robertson and all those guys. Yeah. But I'd probably, out of respect for them, I say we have to respect the you know, the old heads in the game. So I would probably keep him just outside of the top 10. But if we're talking like my era, Luke, I mean, it's LeBron and Steph. That's where I go. And then everybody else. Then everybody else.
I agree with that.
Maybe now, even Steph, then LeBron. Like, that's something, there's a huge argument for that.
It's fair. You know, as I said, after the Warriors won this championship, nobody was winning during Jordan's prime. When Jordan was the best player in the league in the 90s, nobody else was winning. Yet here for LeBron, when LeBron's been the best player in the league, and maybe he isn't anymore at this point, but still, going back to a few years ago when the Warriors were winning their first championships, even with how dominant LeBron was, Steph Curry and the Warriors were still finding a way to be the best team in the league. And I think there's something to be said for that. You mentioned Shaq in the finals. Yeah. I think Shaq is underrated because people see him on TV now, and he's, you know, he's goofy, and he's got a great personality. He's joking around. Or, again, you think back, he's one of those guys that maybe hung on a little too long. He bounced around. He's with the Celtics. He's with the Cavs, playing on these different teams, the Suns. And at that point, he was kind of washed up because his body just couldn't hold up. But, man, you go back to that first NBA Finals against the Pacers when he was with the Lakers, and Kobe averaged like 15 points or something. Shaq, in that NBA Finals, he averaged 38 points, 17 rebounds. That is absurd. against the Pacers in a six-game series. Those sound like numbers from Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell, where you would say, yeah, but they were playing against a bunch of guys who were, you know, 6'2". This was 20 years ago when Shaq was doing this. And I think people forget that because it's kind of the end of his career, and then again, his personality sense. Like Barkley, same idea. You see Barkley joking around on TV, I think you forget that he was a great player. People see him as kind of this personality, and he's a goofball, and you can't really picture him as being a great NBA player, and he never won a championship, so everyone holds that against him. I think Shaq's similar, that you forget how dominant Shaq was like the first 10 years of his career, maybe 8 years. He was so good. His first finals with Orlando, it was his second year in the league. He was 22 years old. He averaged 28-13 against Olajuwon, who was an all-time great. Shaq was incredible just because his size. He was 7'1", 320 pounds, and he's catching alley-oops, and he's breaking backboards. Like, how do you stop this guy? 38 points, 17 rebounds in that finals in 2000. Now, he was going up against the Pacers. The Pacers were their big guys, and I love this era of the NBA, but they did have some brutes inside that were getting beat up. I mean, Rick Smits. I had a friend who loved Rick Smits back then. I don't know why. Rick Smits, Dale Davis. Those were the guys that had to guard him. Right? You get like a Sam Perkins in there, Austin Crozier. Good names on that Pacers team 20 years ago. They didn't stand a chance against Shaq.
Feel bad for those guys.
No, seriously.
Feel very bad for those. Final Shaq was, and I think like you were saying, Luke, with the underrated topic of Shaq, it's got to be because of Kobe, right? Barkley says it all the time on Inside the NBA when they're arguing. They say, you know, I wasn't riding on the Kobe Bryant's coattails, you know, Dwayne Wade's coattails. There might be an argument for that, but when you pull up the finals numbers, it's like, who was getting it done when it mattered most? That was Shaquille O'Neal.
That's a good point as well, yeah. I do think Kobe is a little overrated by a lot of people. I know you don't want to speak poorly about those who have sadly passed away. I think Kobe is overrated by a lot, and I think Shaq is underrated by a lot of people. And probably, yeah, because that goes hand in hand. You give a lot of the attention to Kobe from those Lakers teams. And for good reason, but Shaq was – and by the way, Rick Smits, I forgot how tall – he was 7'4". Shaq was dropping 38 points on him. Pretty good. Imagine that, 7-1 against 7-4 in the NBA Finals. What a matchup back then. Anyways, I could talk about old NBA Finals all afternoon. When we come back, would you rather have, if you had Aaron Rodgers money, would you rather have a personal driver or a personal chef? And would you go to the grocery store? We'll get to that next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll get to Trent's takes coming up, but I got to get your opinion on a couple of things. You're a big Aaron Rodgers guy.
Huge.
You saw the photo of him with like the girl in the grocery store.
Yeah, being nice guy, as everybody calls it. He's a very nice guy, interacting with a mom and her very little daughter at the Trader Joe's, I believe, if that was the store they were in.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
And this is not going to be some sort of slant against Aaron Rodgers.
I feel something coming.
No, not in regards to Rodgers. It was a very nice photo. My question instead would be, I'm interested. If you're Aaron Rodgers, and I believe this was in Wisconsin, in the area, why are you going to the grocery store? I wouldn't want to be bothered by it. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I don't think I could even walk into a grocery store in that area.
No.
Everyone's going to be bothering you.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm not sure where the photo was taken. It might have been at one of his homes in Los Angeles, might have been at his illustrious estate, near Green Bay, so potentially there. But, this is just common man Aaron Rodgers. He goes to the grocery store like everybody else and just so happens to be, one of the best ball throwers of all time. No big deal.
Now, the woman who posted it, if you go to her profile, she doesn't have a location. Some people have where they're located or whatever. But she does have all sorts of Packers stuff. Now, that doesn't mean she lives. She could be out. She could be a Packers fan living in California. She runs into Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. But I'm assuming it's around Green Bay.
Yeah.
Which, hey, props to Rodgers. You're going out to the grocery store by yourself or on your own like that.
Well, I mean, we saw him. Remember, he was in the back of somebody's truck going through a neighborhood with a case of beer, like
that's
in his
true.
O-lineman. Where, so, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a common man. He's got, that's you know, $500 million in career earnings, not talking sponsorship. So, I mean, he'll be a billionaire at some point. But, my goodness, he's a common man. I love the guy.
So then that's my question. If you get Aaron Rodgers' money, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a personal chef who does all the cooking and they'll do the shopping for you? You don't have to go to the grocery store ever again.
Mm.
Or would you rather have a personal driver where they'll drive you around? You don't ever have to drive again.
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. I don't know, Luke. I'm trying to get into cooking. I'm doing better at getting into cooking. But for somebody there to make all three meals and to do the grocery shopping, you know, I would definitely take that. And by the way, it's not if I get Aaron Rodgers money. It's when we get Aaron Rodgers money, Luke Morrow. But I would say, I don't know, I've always dreamt of having a personal driver, though. So I think I'll go with a personal driver because that's always something cool for me. If, you know, I want the cap, I want the suit and everything. Just let me hop in the back and let's get moving, pal. Just don't stop at red lights.
Yeah, the personal driver is definitely better for, like, a status symbol.
Yes.
Because people don't see the personal chef unless they come over to the house. Now, that's nice. You have a friend come over to the house, you say, like, you want something? Tell my guy, right? He'll go make a sandwich for you.
Yeah, tell Antonio. Yeah. He'll cook it up for you.
He'll whip up something. That's pretty good. But otherwise, the personal driver, you show up to any event, right? You're getting out of the back seat. That's pretty good. The driver opens the door for you. I think I would go. I can't cook, so I think I would definitely go chef. Plus, it would help you, hopefully, you know, keep like a good diet as well.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And if I never go to a grocery store again, fine with me. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, I get it. Like, he's an everyman. But I don't know if I'm walking in a grocery store in the Green Bay area if I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to have somebody go do my shop, or I'll have the groceries delivered, maybe.
He's an everyman who just happens to have an elevator down a cliff that goes right to the beach in Malibu. So,
yeah.
You know, take it with a grain of salt,
that's
folks.
Right. An everyman. He's completely relatable to everybody. He's getting his groceries at the store just like you are. No difference. Now, I heard Mike Greenberg tell a story about how he ran into Henry Winkler at a restaurant out in California while he was out there covering the NBA Finals. Greeny was. And he didn't want to bother the Fonz during his meal. So he was going to wait to meet the Fonz on the way out the restaurant. And Greeny tells the story, told it this week on ESPN, and he got distracted and he looked back and the table was cleared. Fonz was gone.
Oh, no.
Greeny went running outside to try to catch him, couldn't find him. So he got distracted, didn't notice that Arthur Fonzarelli and his family got up and left the restaurant. And as Greeny tells the story, the Fonz was his childhood idol. That would be the one person he said that he hasn't met yet that he would love to meet. And as Greeny said, it's going to bother him the rest of his life that he blew an opportunity to meet the Fonz. By the way, side note, I get not bothering people during their meals, celebrities. But if it's a case like that, maybe you make an exception. If that's the one guy like you've always wanted to meet and he was your idol, and as Greeny told the story, he wanted to tell him like how important he was to him growing up and everything. He wanted to be just like him. If it's somebody like that, I know you may come off as a jerk, but maybe it's worth it to actually meet the guy instead of living with the regret that he was a couple of tables over and you blew your chance to actually talk to him. I wouldn't like to bother a celebrity with their family either, but if it's somebody that big, like the only time you'd ever do it, I don't know. Maybe you make an exception for that one person. But that leads me to a question. Let me put you on the spot again. Would it be Aaron Rodgers? Who would be your guy that if you could meet anybody?
Yeah, it would probably be Aaron Rodgers.
It would be Rodgers.
Yeah, I think so. I think I would first pass out, you know, come back to my senses, and then want to have a deep intellectual conversation. Wouldn't even want to talk football with the guy. Just want to pick his brain. Seems like a very interesting human. Yeah, definitely he would be up there. He'd be, and then Leo probably would be the Leonardo DiCaprio would be the other one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That'd be cool. Leo would be on my list. Rodgers, I could do without. That's okay. I was trying to think about it, though. You know, I've been blessed that I have met a lot of people over my life just by happenstance, being in the right place at the right time. Number one on my list would probably be Tom Petty, but he passed away. Mm. So, unfortunately, that's not possible. Number two on my list would probably be Jerry Seinfeld, and I was fortunate enough to meet him. And that was quite the experience. So, cross him off. I don't know. I don't know who it would be. I was trying to think of athletes. I mean, probably if I have a chance to ever meet Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't turn that down. Right? That would be great. I've met Larry Bird before. He was a jerk. Never met Magic. Magic would be a good one, too. But Jordan would probably be number one. If we're talking athletes, if I could meet an athlete, you know, I happen to run into them at the grocery store, Jordan would probably be number one. I'll be honest with you. High up on that list, maybe number two would be Brett Favre.
Really?
Even though he was with a Packer. He was a Packer for all those years. just because he played for the Vikings. And then even when he was, like, another one would be Derek Jeter.
Sure.
Hated him on the Yankees, but, well, I didn't hate him. Jeter was the one Yankee I never hated, and Favre was the one Packer I never hated because they were just so good you had to respect them. So Jeter would be another one. Even though I hated the Yankees and I would root against him every night, I would love to. If I ever ran into Derek Jeter, I would love that too because I understand how great they were and how interesting, at least Brett. But Jeter comes off, he portrays himself to be a boring guy. Brett Favre, right, he's got a lot of personality. He'd be fun to run into. So I'd say the obvious ones, right? Jordan, Favre, Jeter, the all-time greats would be the guys that if I'm in a restaurant and I see them at another table, like, that'd be pretty cool. In terms of celebrities, yeah, I may have to steal yours. Leo would be pretty good.
Yeah, Leo would be one that I would not turn down. I don't care who I'm interrupting. I would not turn down to just go shake that gentleman's hand. How did you do it, sir? how do you do it?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I also tell you what, especially after this trial, I may go Johnny Depp as well.
Oh, man. He seems like I just want to do a coloring book with a guy. He seems like a fun – it seems like he was doing that during the trial. Yeah. Seems like a fun guy.
I would love to hang with Johnny Depp. And the other one, just for the story, we're talking actors, I may go Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
He seems like a lunatic. I don't really like his personal decisions and his involvement in a cult. But just to be able to tell people, like, hey, I talked to Tom Cruise, and he was a lunatic, right? Like, that'd be pretty cool.
You being a foot taller than him, too. That'd be fun.
That's
that'd
also
be fun.
True.
Well, alpha him a little bit. Yeah. Alphing Tom That's Cruise right. would be yeah. something interesting.
Yeah, I'll give him a little chest bump, rub up against him. Oh, and, yeah. You know, give him a little shove.
What up, Shorty?
Yeah.
How you doing?
What do you think? What do you got, Tom? Sit down. Eat your sushi. You know, come on. That'd be pretty good. So I don't want to meet Tom Cruise just for the story. And by the way, I love Tom Cruise's movies. I don't know about him as a person. I don't know. But as an actor, I always loved all his movies. So Tom would be pretty good, too. That's about it. And people always say I look like John Cusack, so I guess meeting John Cusack would be okay, too. Although he's kind of been blackballed because of things in his own life as well. Bunch of crazy, right? Hollywood, bunch of crazy people.
Throw in Dwayne Wade for me as well. That's another athlete I'd like to meet, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
Seems
like a good guy. Oh, overall, just seems like a good guy.
That jogs my memory as we're continuing to add on to the list. Penny Hardaway was my favorite basketball player growing up, so if I ever get to a Memphis basketball game, Penny would be cool to meet. Loved Penny Hardaway. I was originally thinking back to my favorite athletes. Penny was my favorite NBA player or basketball player growing up. My favorite baseball players were guys you probably don't even remember. Brian Daubeck was my favorite baseball player. I'm probably the only person in the world who would say that. And I was fortunate enough to meet him. And then Kevin Millar became my favorite baseball player, and I was fortunate enough to meet him. So, I don't know, baseball, like I said, probably a Jeter, Pedro Martinez, David Ortiz. Would love to meet any of those all-time greats. Coming up, speaking of baseball, we may find out what team Trent is jumping on the bandwagon of. Who is that favorite baseball team? Better not be the Yankees. We'll get to Trent's takes next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Looking forward to catching up with Landon Powell at the top of next hour, former big leaguer, former Gamecock, and now national champion head coach, winning the Division II National Championship in baseball about, 10 days ago at North Greenville. So we'll talk to him about all sorts of stuff, about winning that championship, about the Gamecocks, even about just baseball in general at the top of the hour. Looking forward to that conversation. Speaking of baseball, we may find out which baseball team Trent's jumping aboard. As we do it around this time each and every day, it's time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's Panther. Right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The radio cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Luke, it took a lot of hard work, research, dedication into finding which baseball team I would like to cheer for, you know, the entirety of potentially my existence and this year especially. I have decided, Luke Morrow, that I will be hopping on the San Francisco Giants bandwagon. I wasn't going to do the Yankees because, one, I may not have a job here if I chose the Yankees. Two, you tweeted that, you know, you'd put mayo in my coffee. That was a big no, which we have to try at some point. And three, I mean, fan talk would be an absolute nightmare if I was cheering for the Yankees on a day-to-day basis. So, with all those factors being said, I chose San Francisco. Now, San Francisco is one of my favorite cities on this earth. Absolutely love it. It's beautiful. Got to see the stadium when I was down there for a couple days. It's absolutely gorgeous. I like a lot of their players, the drama going on with the fantasy football team. You give me guys that have been slapped on the field for fantasy football, boom, I'm cheering for that team. They're 3.5 games back right now, I believe, of the Dodgers in the NL West. NL West, yes, I believe that's the division they're in. Yes, yep. NL West. So I'm learning. And we got, you know, Jock Peterson, a couple other guys that are studs. Need a little bit more production on the offensive side for the Giants. But they're a late season team. Luke, All-Star break's coming up. Hopefully we make a couple good free agent moves, and boom, we're right back in this thing. We're taking down the Dodgers in the NL West. And I will say, it's very, you know, funny that I decided to go with the Giants, not knowing that they started a two-game series against the Atlanta Braves, which is absolutely hilarious. I love it. Can't wait to watch the Giants tonight take down the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta. It's going to be beautiful. Jock Peterson home run. Lock it in right now, Luke Morrow.
Yeah, you plead ignorance, but I don't know. Maybe that's part of the reason why you make this decision, because they happen to be playing the Braves. A week from now, he's going to be a Phillies fan when they're playing the Braves next week.
Yeah, might as well just cheer for everybody in the Braves division, you know, just to not like stirring the pot, Luke. Yeah. But I'm a San Francisco. I like their uniforms. That's another thing,
too. I do
too.
Like their uniforms,
So I'm a San Francisco Giants guy. I'm all in, Luke. Here we go.
I've always liked the Giants' color scheme.
Yes.
I like the interlocking SF on the hat. Yeah, I'm with you there. The Giants have always had good stuff. Good jerseys, good apparel. They got a nice ballpark, good area. You made the right choice. Of the options you presented yesterday, I thought the Giants were the best option. Now, this week, let's go Giants.
Here we go, baby.
Got to win the next couple.
Yeah, there's going to be a pennant hanging in this studio. A San Francisco Giants pennant. 2022 World Series champs coming up here pretty soon, Luke Morrow. So I'm a San Francisco Giants fan through and through. And oh boy, am I going to be insufferable, especially if the Giants start rolling off a couple wins, Luke. So folks, get ready for that. Should be a fun time. Now, Luke, got to pat ourselves on the back once again for the Brooks Koepka going to the Live. I believe it's series. It's not tour.
Yeah, whatever they call it.
Yeah, it's Live series, if I'm not mistaken. I don't mind the move whatsoever. It felt like Brooks, like he mentioned in the clip we played earlier, that he really didn't play a lot of tournaments. He can play whenever he wants. And he also, you know, usually just plays in the majors. This is a four-time major championship winner going over to Live. What's the number? I'm probably assuming it's near Dustin Johnson at $125 million. But do they factor in that he's got two more major championships than Dustin Johnson? I don't know who's like a bigger name at the hierarchy of golf. I would probably say right now Brooks Koepka maybe a tad bit over Dustin Johnson, but they're probably even. I don't know too much about golf, but that's how I would assume it. And him going over there, still being able to play in the majors, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on talking about the PGA compared to the LIV Tour. And now the PGA is basically changing their entire model for 2023, doing more international events. But I had this thought, Luke, and I want to get your opinion on it. Obviously, we know that the Saudis have unlimited money, right? Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. What if they just go to the PGA Tour, let's say a $40 billion check, and say, we'll buy out the PGA Tour? What happens then? Can they turn down that amount of money? You know, if the Saudis just wanted to buy out the PGA Tour outright so they don't have to compete any longer?
Yeah, that would be wild. I don't know. It's a good question.
That's why I just think about it, though. They have all the money in the world. If they wanted to solve, like, if Liv said, hey, we want to end this, what's the number? $100 billion? Got it. No problem. It like, that's a normal Wednesday.
Yeah. It would also turn everything on its head, because they're so, you know, the PGA Tour has been upset with the players jumping ship for the money. And then, you know, in the end, they would be just taking the big payday as well. That would be a fascinating scenario. In regards to Brooks Koepka, I forgot to mention this earlier. Did you see these old quotes from him?
No, what happened?
From 2 years ago? These are old quotes from Brooks. He said, money doesn't matter. It's not something that's important. I just want to be happy. Money's not going to make me happy. I just want to play against the best. If somebody gave me $200 million tomorrow, it's not going to change my life. What am I going to get out of it? I already have enough money that I could retire right now. But I don't want to. I just want to play golf. In hindsight, looks like some pretty dumb quotes, because Brooks Koepka then essentially just did the opposite of everything he said 2 years ago.
Right, no doubt. I mean, he's probably paying back for that Turks and Caicos wedding that they
right.
had. I mean, that thing was at least $200,000 to put on. Can't even imagine the lodging and travel. It was unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, smart business move. And again, I'll keep harping on this. I'm never going to harp on a guy who or girl, athlete, whatever, for taking as much money as possible, especially these guys can still play in the majors. Hey, if they're there on Sunday at the U.S. Open, or, you know, if they make the cut, I'm all for it. If they're there at the Open, I'm all for it. If they're not at the RBC Canada, you know, whoops, sorry. Half of them sit out anyway. So that's how I kind of look at it. I know I am in the minority there, Luke Morrow. Now, the NBA draft you mentioned yeah. on Thursday. Can I just say it once again, because I said it on the show during March Madness. Chet Holmgren is not going to be a good NBA player. I'm saying that right now. I don't think people are saying, oh, he's the next Kevin Durant. That's just because of his size and stature. He's not as fast as Durant. He doesn't have the handles Durant has, and he's not as good of a shooter as Kevin Durant is. Especially, Luke, if he gets drafted to, say, OKC. They have a lot of decently talented guys on the perimeter. He'll probably have to play down low. You're telling me that Chet Holmgren, at 7 feet tall, 165, 170 pounds, is going to be, you know, trying to back down Joel Embiid, back down Nikola Jokic? No chance. Whoever drafts him, I think, out of all these guys, like you mentioned, I'd take Paolo Banchero, first pick overall, Jabari Smith, Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray, the Johnny Davis from Wisconsin. I'd take all of those guys, Luke, before I'd take Chet. I don't understand, you know, the big hype around Chet Holmgren. I mean, watch the tournament. See what he did. He did nothing. He did nothing of importance in the NCAA tournament. He's going to be probably a top two pick. He's probably going to be the second pick overall.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not a big Chet guy either. You know, he's listed at 7 foot. We were talking about Shaq earlier. Shaq's 7'1". He's 7 foot. Imagine those two trying to go at one another. He would get eaten alive. He's on pace to become just the second player to be 7 feet or taller and less than 200 pounds to play in the NBA. So that's the big concern for him, is the body. Yeah, people compare him to like a Durant or some other guys that, like, even Joel Embiid was kind of thin coming out. But you could see those guys had – they had broad shoulders like an Embiid. They had that build, even Anthony Davis, that they could put – pounds on. For Holmgren, I don't have that same faith that even when he gets in the hands of these NBA trainers that he's going to turn into some sort of NBA body. And yeah, he's not as skillful as Kevin Durant. He's 7'1", he's like 185 pounds. I think you have a better build. Or, you know, to quote Michael Scott, like Gumby has a better
yeah.
physique, whatever he said to Jim. That's the big concern. Yeah, here on the Morrow Midday Show, we're not very high on Chet.
No, yeah, and I mean, I wish him the best. There's no doubt about it, but I'm just putting on my analyst hat here, Luke Morrow. I'm sitting at the get-up desk and saying that Chet Holmgren, he ain't it. I wouldn't draft him. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole if he's coming to my NBA program. Put on 68 pounds at Gonzaga, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit, because you're going to have to bang against guys like Joel, like Nikola Jokic. I'm going to laugh at that as soon as we see it, when he's just on the floor in 5 seconds, because those guys are just going to overpower him. Absolutely crazy. Now, Luke, quick prediction. I was looking at the sports books, as I do every morning, just looking at the odds, thinking what's going on, and I noticed that the Falcons have the worst odds to win the division in the NFC South, and the Panthers have the third best odds. I believe it's plus 1,300 for the Panthers, plus 2,400 for the Falcons. I will make this prediction right now. The Falcons will have a much, much better season this year than the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
I don't think it's going to be close. I think the Falcons can win 7 to 8 games with the roster they have right now. I believe in Kyle Pitts. I believe in Marcus Mariota. Drake London looks like a very good player. Their defense is relatively solid in a winnable division, even though Tom Brady's in it. I think the Saints, Panthers, and Falcons. I think the Falcons could beat the Panthers twice, split one with Tampa, and potentially split one with New Orleans. I think they're going to be a lot better. I don't see Carolina winning over 5 games. I'd go 3 to 4 if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh.
And the Falcons are going to win 7 games. That's my. I think the sports books are getting this a little backwards here. I think the Falcons are the third best team right now in the NFC South.
Wow, so the Panthers under 6 wins and the Falcons better than that. Interesting.
Well, I've just, like, Luke, I'm a big Packers fan, but growing up here, like, you know, you always watch the Panthers because that's what's on television, right? Mm-hmm. And before you had Red Zone and everything and multiple TVs, I would always watch the Panthers. I'm sick of this team. I'm sick of this franchise. At one point are we going to look at it and say, what are you going to do to make this place better? Matt Rule's won 10 games in 2 years, brought in all of his Temple coaches to come coach in the NFL. It's a men's league, all right? It's a little different than coaching college. I'm sick of it. The Falcons are going to have a much better season.
Interesting. I will say, I will differ on you. I think the Panthers will have the better year. Mm. I don't think either team will be all that great this year.
No.
But I would think that the Panthers, they certainly should be better this year. And if they have that type of year that you're forecasting, Matt Rhule will be in big trouble very quickly this year. We'll see what happens. By the way, we'll do this probably in the show tomorrow. So you could start thinking maybe it's the Falcons. Mm. But I want you to think of a team that's not going to be as good as everybody thinks right now. And the opposite, a team that's going to be better than a lot of people think. Maybe it's going to be your Atlanta Falcons. But come up with a team that right now is overhyped and underhyped. We'll probably do that on the show tomorrow as we get ready for the NFL season. When we come back, we'll wrap up Hour 2. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Hey, we were talking about the LIV Golf Tour. A lot of rumors about Colin Morikawa going over as well, or the LIV series, whatever they call it. Morikawa tweeted to state for the record, you all are absolutely wrong. I've said it since February that I'm here to stay on the PGA Tour. Nothing has changed. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some cereal to pour in my milk. He knows what he's doing with that tweet. Trent, when you put together a bowl of cereal, you put the cereal in first or the milk?
Yeah, like a normal human being, I will definitely put the cereal in before the milk. Call more cow like we like to do sometimes, just stir in the pot.
That's
stir
right.
Stir in the pot.
He's trying to take the attention away from the LIV rumors, and now everyone's going to debate about Colin Morikawa, how he prepares his cereal.
And then next week, he's going to join the LIV tour.
That'll be it. Right. Yeah. And he'll do it over a bowl of cereal as well, make his announcement. By the way, that's what I realized we were missing. We should have had the hats. We should have had a Giants hat, a Yankee hat, a White Sox hat in front of you when you made your decision.
Did a recruiting thing. Yeah. I'll throw the hat out. See the Yankees.
That's
get
right.
out of here.
Put the Yankee hat on first.
Yep.
Get me ticked off just to pull the old switcheroo. Pull out a Giants hat. Ah, that's what we were missing. At one point, I was trying to collect all the hats in Major League Baseball. I don't know what happened to all those because I don't have them with me anymore. But I had a lot of hats back in the day. My parents probably threw them out way back when. Trying to think of other things like that. If you make chocolate milk, you're putting the milk in first, right? Then the syrup, you stir it up.
Yeah,
you ever make chocolate
probably
milk?
a normal human would.
You put cheese on top or the bottom of a sandwich or a cheeseburger? Or something.
I mean, cheese on top.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Trying to think of anything else in the food making world. Hey, how'd that chicken parm sandwich go? You make a chicken parm sandwich?
Yeah, chicken parm was good. Chicken parm was very good. I mean, my cooking skills are up there. Thank you to HelloFresh. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Hey, coming up, we'll catch up with Landon Powell. Played for the Gamecocks, played in Major League Baseball, just won a national championship in North Greenville. He'll join us next. Hour 3 next. The More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.